The book of Jude, we'll read verses 20 and 21. When it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Now, here in Jude, there are three instances of prayer. One of this is the opening, if you see there in verse 2, where it says, "May mercy and peace and love be multiplied unto you." That's that request that he has for his readers. And then again in verse 25 of the same book, says, "To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever." And of course, to something like that, we all say amen to that. Not only do you read it, you say it there, right there in your heart. So you have both the introduction in verse 2 and then in verse 25, the benediction that glory and majesty, dominion and authority, both in the past and now and forever, be to the Lord. That's a request. And of course, amen is the answer to that. And then you have the third one here that we just read, verses 20 and 21, where it has this expression, they're praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, the first thing we want to do when we read an expression like that is don't think mystical. In other words, don't think like praying in the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is going to take control of my prayers. Okay? That's not what this is referring to. So let's just back up and just take a look at this, these two verses, verses 20 and 21. Where what we have is an address to the saints, but you, beloved, with a command. And the command is given in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the command. So if we were writing the paragraph ourselves, we might say, "But you, beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God." And then there's given three ways or three means by which we keep ourselves in the love of God. The first one is in verse 20. You'll see the participle there. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. So keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the command. How do you do that? There's three means. First of all, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. How do you do that? How do you build yourself up on your most holy faith? By the Word of God. You're in the Bible. You seek to understand what it's saying. You want to know what does that text say. And you want that text to enter into you, to live inside of you. And you want to embrace that with full persuasion, with the faith that comes to us through that Holy Word. So the first means is building yourselves up on your most holy faith. The second means is, what do you think the second means is in verses 20 and 21? Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's the second means. We'll come back to that. And then the third means is in verse 21, which is waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Or waiting for our salvation is how I shorten it here in my own notes. And so the address is to the beloved, to the saints, and we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. You say, well, how do I do that? First of all, we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Second of all, we pray in the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, we are waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And I love it here with the expansion, waiting anxiously. It's not just waiting as in passive with no desire inside of us. It's waiting anxiously. We really want the Lord to return, right? We really want to see Him face to face. And I don't know about you, but the more that I trust that I am maturing in Christ, the more I desire for Him to come. I know His coming is imminent. It could come when? Any moment, any time. Okay, there's no, as it were, signs out there to tell us of that immediacy of meeting the Lord in the air where we will ever be with the Lord. That's immediate. But the more I mature, the more my spirit says immediate. I remember when somebody asked me when I think I was just a year or so older in the Lord, and I saw this and I said something like this to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I know I want you to come back, but could you just wait a while so I could do something for you?" And I thought that was a real mature answer. But actually, that was the answer of a young babe in Christ. And as you go and you see things, you just know, "Lord, Maranatha, come quickly." And so there's that third means. But in the midst of all this is our praying verse. That is praying in the Holy Spirit. And so basically what this means is that we are praying scripturally informed prayers. The Holy Spirit is associated with the giving of the Word of God. We are born again by that word, right? We are sanctified by that same word. We are illumined by that same word. Well, is it just the black and white words on a page? No, it's the Holy Spirit working through those words in our life. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the wisdom. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us knowledge. Now, you just don't sit there and say, "Hit me." In fact, the way the Holy Spirit works, we won't turn to it in Timothy, but you'll recall when our Lord gave Timothy three illustrations of the runner and the farmer. And He told him to endure like a good soldier, Jesus Christ. And then Paul tells Timothy, "Timothy, think on these things, and the Lord will give you understanding." Okay, so it's not just me sitting here. It's not putting the book under my pillow. It's not saying, "Okay, Lord, do this," some kind of mystical osmosis. I have to what? I have to think on these things. Or, for our theme of the year, we have to be meditative on these things. We have to go to the text and we have to beat on that text until the incense of the Word comes as a good aroma to ourselves. And so praying scripturally informed prayers is equal or is the same as praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's all kinds of little subcategories that flow out of there. In other words, praying in the Holy Spirit could mean that I'm praying prayers of my need of dependence on God. Okay, but that's flowing out of the Word, right? The Word tells me I need God. When I am weak, then am I strong. And so in your weakness, you might say, "Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me." That's a scripturally informed prayer. It could be praying for deliverance from temptation. "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." It could mean that. It could mean deliverance from ourselves. Sometimes our greatest enemy is our own flesh. It could refer to praying for the understanding of the Scripture. It could mean praying while you stand, having done all, stand with all prayer. And it definitely means that we pray in the will of God. We saw that in 1 John last Wednesday. And it certainly would mean this, praying in Jesus' name. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Does it mean to always end your prayers in Jesus' name, amen? That's not what it refers to. It refers to praying prayers that are in agreement with who God is. Is God good? Is God merciful? Is He compassionate? Is He just? Is He loving? We can pray prayers in agreement with who God is, right? God brings wrath upon His enemies. And so we have prayers in the Psalms against God's enemies. Okay, don't think that's strange or think that's unloving. Okay, this is who our God is. And so prayers that are in agreement with His name are praying in the name of Jesus, praying according to God's character, praying for things that are for His glory, praying for things like, Lord, deliver me from the love of money. That's a great prayer, isn't it? Lord, deliver my children from the love of money. Lord, give them a heart for God. All that comes from who? All that comes from the Lord. And so all of that are scripturally informed praying, right? Because we're getting that right from the Bible. It could be prayer corporately. And it certainly isn't prayers that are struck through and characterized by quarreling, strife. Right? You ever prayed a prayer because you're striving for someone, against someone? I have. I've actually gotten mad at someone and asked God to get them. Okay. You know what? He never listens to me. Why? Because that's a prayer. That's what James calls a diseased prayer. You asked amiss to consume it on your own lust. Okay, my lust, my foolishness was strife. And God's certainly not going to answer anything like that. Certainly it doesn't have anything to do with our passions or our sensualities or our divisiveness or our anger or impatience, right? I remember praying for love when I first got saved, and God sent somebody by my house, and the only thought that came to my mind was, here's someone to love. And it wasn't somebody I wanted to love. Okay? The Lord sent somebody there that was unlovable. Because that's who God is, right? God loves the unlovable like us. And so, you ever prayed for patience? And so, for the next week or so, the only types of things it seems like in your life are things that really push your button. Well, God's answering your prayer. Okay? And so, those types of things, we are to be praying scripturally informed prayers. We certainly can pray a prayer to put to death the deeds of the body. Romans chapter 8 says the Holy Spirit leads us to put to death the deeds of the body. So you could be fighting something in the flesh. I don't know if you've ever had problems with some type of fleshly attack. And you actually go to the Lord. The Lord is the one who does this. And say, Lord, I know my sin nature is not going to go away until I die. But Lord, could you restrain that sin nature? That's a great thing. I prayed that for my kids when they were in the house. Who does that? God does that. Romans chapter 1 says God gave them up. God gave them up. He removed that fence around their sinful nature, and they did what was natural. God Himself does things like this. What a blessing. We could be praying prayers that flow out of our suffering. We cry, Abba, Father. See, all those types of things are scripturally informed what? Prayers. And so this is what it means to be praying in the Spirit. So when we get together and we have prayer requests, one of the most difficult things that I have is I get a list like this. And of course, we all have our desires, right? Okay, we all have our desires about, you know, Mamie and Dorothy and, you know, all these people. We have our desires about that. But what is God's will? What is a scripturally informed prayer for that specific prayer request? And that, many times we don't know what we ought to pray, right? And so we may just take a guess. You may have three or four scriptures that come up that could be applicable to that situation. And so pick one and pray it. And you know what? You may just find out you just prayed in the will of God. And what a joy that would be. So whether we're praying as an individual, whether we're praying corporately, we're to be praying in the Holy Spirit, meaning we are to be praying scripturally informed, scripturally based, scripturally saturated prayers, which means we need to know our scripture, right? And so as we go to the Lord and do that, you know, prayer is hard work. You know, you think when you first get saved, well, what's the big deal about praying? You just pray. Right? You just pray. And I remember somebody telling me, well, you just talk to God like He's your dad, or right? And so you say, ah, that's not too bad. But then you start noticing in the Scripture that there's a certain way you approach, right? There's a certain way you come to. You have to pray in a certain way. You have to know what to pray for, praying in the will of God. And all of a sudden you realize, this is a huge thing. This takes forethought. To go to the Lord with what we think is the will of God and what we think is prayer. And folks, there's nothing wrong with us just telling God we don't know. Right? That's a scripturally informed prayer. Romans 8 says we don't know how to pray as we ought. So if you don't know something specific, just tell the Lord you don't know. And then just tell Him your desire. But at least acknowledge that you've given some thought before you made your request there. So, brethren, we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. How do we do that? Number one, we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Number two, we pray in the Holy Spirit. And number three, we wait with what kind of spirit? Anxiously for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's go to our